You guys ready? Everybody coming in? Snacks are better than the preaching. Sue, the snacks are better than the preaching. Oh, yeah, my whole identity's gone. Somebody pray for me. Now that's funny. Okay, guys, you ready? We're going to start. Ready or not? Thank you, Lord. Okay, here we go. I'm going to jump right back into... let's just jump back into Romans 5 quick. And see, I stop on stuff like that and highlight it because I want you to see, like when we started in chapter 5, verse 1, last week we hit, you've been justified by faith and have peace with God. So, do you hear what it's saying? It's not saying you feel peace with God. You have peace with God. God has made peace with you by removing sin. Do you see how adamant that is? So you're not trying to have peace. You have peace with God. You have to hear how the Bible says this because this is where... Because you're justified by what?
Faith.
So faith is the initial receiving of that truth. You have to start with peace with God. You see what I'm saying? You're not trying to make peace. You're not doing the peace atonements and sacrifices. Jesus did all that. And He made peace with God for you. So, and then it says you have access into His, by faith into His grace. That's verse 2, which you stand rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. So, there's a rejoicing. Here's that word rejoice again. I'm back in Romans 5, but backed up to verse 2. You're rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And the glory of God is the manifestation of God. Isn't that beautiful? So you're rejoicing in growing up in Him. You're rejoicing that He's revealing Himself to you and through you, that your life is changed because of Him. There's a rejoicing. Do you hear how that has to be faith? Because you're faced with everyday challenges, everyday emotions. You're faced with the circumstances and situations of life. But what are you going to allow to dictate who you are and why you are? This truth right here. This is what it means. And it seems like I'm really being redundant to some maybe and hitting this over and over. It's on purpose. It's on purpose. We did this all last week and hit this hard. And we went into a lot of other things. And a lot of time went with other things. We nailed some stuff and people responded to me. And you guys are so gracious afterward. You know, you're like, man, I think I know why you got on that. And then you share stuff so sincere. It's just fun. But because I get up here and we're just going. You know, I don't really have a plan. But stuff gets big in my heart. So I'm looking at this and this stands out to me. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, see, if I'm living by faith and the Bible's expecting that I'm in this place rejoicing, then I probably need to enter in there and start to step in by faith to the place of where I'm communing with God. Father, I rejoice in the fact that I've been made right with You. There's peace between us. You live in me because You want to. And there's a greater revealing of who You are to me. And You want to flow through me. I thank You. I'm not lacking any good thing. All that is mine is Yours. I yield myself to You. And I know that You're growing me up into You in all things. God, I thank You. Just gripping my heart, my mind, my life with Your love and Your power. There's a place to just start entering into saying yes. You get what I'm saying? I think we're just waiting to feel better. Serious. I think we're just waiting to wake up and it's today the day I'm going to feel better. No, maybe tomorrow. How you doing? Hey, could you pray for me? I'm not being smart. I'm being real. That's what we're just waiting to feel better. Like one day this thing's just going to drop on my lap and open up and be mine. No, you grow up into Him in all things. Remember that I said about you don't just pop a peach seed in or you don't plant a seed and just... No, it grows. You watch it grow. You enjoy the process. Who's ever planted something and just watched it grow? I garden, so I enjoy it. I plant stuff. I nurture it. I get out there and I weed my own garden like you do your own life, right? And, yeah, so much good stuff about the garden. You know, there was a time I planted beans in my garden. And it was cool weather. The nights were cool. And I planted beans. And I always plant my garden early. And I get away with it. It's good. And I planted beans. And Beans, anybody can grow beans, okay? So if you grow beans, don't try to draw your identity from growing beans. It's false identity. Anybody can grow beans. Beans are just easy to grow. So if you need encouragement as a gardener, start with beans. Plant some. But watch this. You put beans in, and the sun's shining, and you wet the ground, beans just grow. That's what they use in class, in school, with the paper towels. And they just grow. They just sprout. It's like everyone you put in the ground comes up. It's just so fun. You can put three rows in standard and not see no gaps anywhere. It's like every seed comes up. It's like 100%. It's like, this is cool. So I plant beans this year. We can beans. We jar beans. We live like the old time days. We jar our stuff. It's fun. So I'm growing beans. At least I think I am. And they aren't coming up. And they're always up. Even when there's cool nights, they're up in 7 days. You plant beans right now, they're out of the ground in 3. And I just know that from gardening because I plant rotation crops. I don't have much yard. I have to use it wisely. And I plant it tight and you can't even see my dirt out there. It's just, oh, garden. It's like, yes. It's Eden. I go out there and walk in the cool of the day. And on a hot day, I just believe it's cool. Nobody? Yeah. Get the mist going. You're good, Brent. So no beans come up. Now we're 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and I've grown beans my whole life in the yard. 2 weeks, and I got no beans. So what happens? You start living by what you and think. So guess what I do? Wow. I planted them early. They've been in the ground so long, I wonder if the moisture and just wetting them down, they're cool, if they rotted in the ground. I wonder if I got a bad batch of seeds. Man, if they were going to come up, they'd have come up by now. If God was going to heal, He'd have healed by now. If God was going to do this, He'd have probably done it by now. I've been doing all the right things. And see, it's not works anyway. But we do that. We assess. We have a way of thinking, the way that seems right. So I'm out there, and I'm not, this isn't a spiritual moment for me. I'm not talking even to the Lord about my beans. I'm just thinking. I'm out in my yard. I'm just thinking, bet this, wow. I knelt down, and I thought, well, I need to get in one of these rows and check one of these rows because something's wrong. I took my finger, started digging in the ground right where I knew the rows were, and I dug back because I have them. I plant everything real tight. I keep my ground real rich, and I get away with I plant my beans tight. So I knew I wouldn't have to go far to find a bean. And when I flipped that little fella up, you guys that grow stuff know what a taproot is, and the little white root straight down, and the bean's unwrapping, and he's opening up, and he's this far into the ground, just ready to come up. And when I did that, once you pull that thing out, he's done. He's dead. You pulled out that little root and it's at a vulnerable. As soon as I pulled that out, I went, oh my gosh, they're growing. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me in the yard. I'm kneeling. I mean, somebody, neighbor, would look out and think, oh my gosh, Dan's taking his garden serious. His beans ain't coming up and he is just really crying. Because I was kneeling there in my garden. I was bawling. I was bawling because the Lord slipped up on me and His presence came down over me and He said, my people do it all the time. That's what He said. They're wanting something, wishing something, intending something, sowing something, in position for something, and then time gets them thinking and intellect agrees and sight and a vice here and there. Next thing you know, you dig up what was just about ready to come out of the ground. It has to be important if I'm just one little fellow on the earth. Just checking my beans, guys. I wasn't out there in, I'd like to tell you I had the stereo blaring and I was praying in tongues checking my beans. I was just checking my beans. I was just thinking, checking my beans. And as soon as I did, the Spirit of God came upon me and said, happens all the time. I could hear it in my heart that it was like, all the time. Not that He's frustrated. He longs for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to love us. Can you imagine the love of God when He's saying, I love you, Trish, through Jesus Christ. And Trish would be struggling, and I wish God, and I don't hear. Can you imagine this? I love you. There was a time my wife, she was struggling receiving the love of God, and I was talking to her about how precious she is, and she said, well, you know, you're supposed to tell me that. And I said, stop that. What do you mean I'm supposed to tell you that? The Word of God, the cross tells you that. And then months go by, right? And she came to me, and I said, what's going on? And she said, well, my heart's just hurting, and it's why. And Lisa was at an age, and I don't even remember the situation, but Kim was like trying to, she just... Lisa was getting a little older, and you know, girls could, you moms could probably relate. She was getting a little older, and she was changing a little, and she wasn't like, I guess, seeming to be mommy's little girl anymore as much as she wanted her to be. And she'd come home from school and have other things in her mind, run to her room, do this, that. And Kim wanted to talk to her, make contact, keep her in a certain sense of relationship, in a certain definition. And she said, well, I don't know if you understand. And I said, well, talk to me. Give me a chance. And she said, well, she said, you know, it's really hard. She said, I don't know how you handle it when you really love somebody. And you really want to love them. And it's like they just don't receive it and they don't want your love or they don't believe your love or they don't respond to your love. And I said, what are you talking about? And then she cried and talked about Lisa. And I said, wow. And I said, just imagine the Father's heart. He says this dramatic, I love you, through His Son on the cross. And people say, well, He can't love me. And, oh, she... it's a pretty intense time. But she was feeling that same thing. It'd be the same way. He's like, no, but I love you. I love you, Trish. Right? Here I am, using my intellect, changing my mind in the sense of, you know, instead of just, you know... Now that was the garden, and I had natural reasons, but you'd be amazed how they're a dime a dozen in every situation, especially healing. Right? He says, lay your hands on the sick believing, they shall recover. That's what He says. And we say, yeah, but... And then we got our whole list. Right? So, when are we believing when we believe that list? The fact that we have the list proves we don't believe. Oh, that's so... Because we have a multiple choice option, we have another scenario already laid out. We already have our experience shouting way louder than the promise. Oh, I'm preaching good. Come on. The fact that you have the list says everything, doesn't it? Because if you have the list, how do you believe? Because if you have the list, then you confess to believe unless. I believe, well, of course, I believe if, I believe, but. Jesus didn't have that list. He didn't have the list because it wasn't in His experience. The only reason we have the list is because we're accommodating our experience. Therefore, assuring to keep it alive and long-lived and increased our experience. And we all say we're seeking His kingdom and His glory. But we sure have our experience secured and intact with our belief system. Assuring that we put a ceiling and we're going to get the same thing. For generations, if something doesn't shift, right? In other words, yeah, I mean, you can pray for me, but don't get... Well, it's not like that. He doesn't heal everybody. Remember, we prayed for so-and-so and prayed and prayed and prayed, and then they finally died. So, I mean, sure, you can pray for me, but it's not about, you know, if God chooses to take me, I mean, you just need to... And I don't want you disappointed. And you talk like that. Now, if we're talking like that, it's because that's what we believe. Do you know the Bible says, out of your heart, your mouth speaks? That is a big one. You can hear what people believe by their language. Yeah. Linda. Yeah, there was Linda's asking about the beans, tying the beans in. There was natural things that ran through my mind, and time began to be in question. Like, say, when you're praying, over your body, physical. And all of a sudden, or even like that thing when I said I had the words in my head, and then I was just telling Holy Spirit how I felt every time I heard those words. Remember? After a week or two, you get tempted with the thought, is this working? Well, it's not a method. It's a relationship and a lifestyle. Do you get what I'm saying? So I planted those beans, and when that happened, I left the ability to think things through, which it wasn't gross, bad thoughts. It was rational thoughts. Could have been a bad batch of beans. They could have got rotted in the ground. A seed lays in the ground too long, it could get, if it's moist and it's not warm enough to germinate, they could decompose. They could begin to get rotten inside. They could mold. And then they could go invalid. You see what I'm saying? So all those thoughts were crossing my mind, which caused me to abort one of those seeds, to dig one up, which didn't hurt anything in that sense. It just showed me spiritually that we do that all the time. The Lord said we do it all the time. Well, if I was going to be healed, I'd be healed by now. Well, if God really loved me, why don't I feel His love? Well, if God wants me to have peace, then why is my mind a wreck? And all of a sudden, we let our natural experience challenge Him constantly and let human intellect in the face of truth. Do you see what I'm saying? So don't dig up your beans. They're growing. You might say, well, I'm not sure that God loves me. Well, you might not be sure in the sense of feeling it and knowing it in that sense, but you're sure in the sense of what the Bible says. So start there and rejoice. Just start there and rejoice. And camp there and rejoice. And all of a sudden the knowing begins to come alive. If you don't do that, you'll have a rational way of thinking. You'll have it all laid out and you'll have it all figured out and be way, way wrong. 30 years down the road. You see what I'm saying? Because it's not the foundation of faith based on the finished work of Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the big deal. And unless I come through Him. So that's for that lady. I'm open-minded. Oh, yeah, I'm way open-minded. God can do anything. Nothing's impossible. The Spirit of God wants to come. Death has no power. Yeah, I'm way open-minded concerned the finished work of Christ. But way narrow on how to get there. Through Him and His work alone. Boy, that takes the pressure off of us, doesn't it? It's not even how I'm praying. It's what I'm believing. It's not even I'm not even pressured to pray right. I just believe right. It has nothing to do with saying the right words. He did the right thing. That's how your righteousness is received, right? Who reconciled you? He did. Who made you right? He did. So how do you receive it? Thank you. Is that easy? It should be easy. We got to make that easy and not, well, yeah, but I don't know why He would have done that for me. And then you start evaluating and identifying yourself for other things. No, the fact that He came makes you precious and special to God. So there's something He's seeing about you that you got to fix your eyes on and grow in, right? So if He reconciled you, if He made you right, then say yes. Say thanks. Say thanks for loving me, right? It's a big deal. And don't let these things that you're experiencing contrary to the blessing of the Lord that we've been taught, or the covenant of the Lord, or the promise of the Lord, don't let these things contrary keep getting in your face and reevaluating and re-identifying you. Don't let time dictate the future of those beings, right? You let truth dictate. Does this make sense? I'm telling you, time has robbed a lot of us because the intellect kicks in. Like when I had those voices and I didn't have a problem. I'm telling you, God Almighty, He gives me His kingdom, the power of His word, the power of His name. I got a picture years ago of God sitting on a throne. Now, I couldn't see His physical features. He'd have probably looked like me because we're one. But I'm just joking. Heretic! Don't kill me. You'll force me to be with Him forever. Okay. Stop. Everybody stop. So, I do know one thing. The DNA of every father is in every one of his children, whether they know the child or not. And he is the father. The DNA. Yeah. It's in me. So, I got this picture of God sitting on a throne. I was going through some stuff. And I realized that faith was being tested at the time. It was way back. And then I realized, wow, when I got this revelation, I realized that's what was happening with those voices. I got this picture of God sitting on a throne, and I could see He was high on a throne. Scriptural, isn't it? Seated high. But He had His arms crossed, and He was kind of looking down. I could see His face looking down, but I couldn't see His facial features. And He's looking down, and I heard Him say, "So what are you going to do?" That's what He said. He's looking at me in the trial, and He said, "So what are you going to do?" And that's the impression I've had for about 15 years. Here's what we do. God, what are you going to... I'm going through this. What are you going to do? God, this is happening. What are you going to do? God, what are you going to... God, where have you been? Why are you... Hello? Don't you hear me when I pray? And I get this picture from Holy Spirit. So what are you going to do? Because I respond in Christ. I have the authority of His name. Nothing by any means shall harm me. I have power over all the power. Because He's the head and He's in me. And He's over all things. And it's the Father. Fear not. Shh, fear not. Shh. Little flock, fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What's that mean? Is that just something to pacify you and comfort you when you're razzled? It's the way you're to live. So I always would get this impression that God... So when those voices were coming, here was the Father. Oh, you go, boy. You're really believing my word. This is so fun. I'm playing the devil like a pawn. And because He's speaking to you, you're getting to know me more. You're knowing the truth more. He's not busting the devil in the chop saying, "Shut up and stop talking to my kid like that." That's how we think. We're waiting for God to just bam, just bust him in the mouth. And God's sitting there letting him yak, 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 because I'm responding in truth, and the yak, yak, yak's taking me right to truth. And God's going, "Oh, this is so fun. I love playing the devil like a fool. Thanks for believing, Dan. This is cool. My grace is on you." See, but we think it's a problem because I'm hearing junk. It's only a problem if I don't have the weapon of my warfare established, casting down every lie with truth. Every what? Every thought captive. Bringing it into the obedience of Christ. It's everything that raises above the... 2 Corinthians verse 10, or chapter 10. It says, everything that rises above the knowledge of God. Everything that says you are what you are apart from Christ. Or that you're going to go through. Anything that's apart from Christ. Anything that's above the knowledge of God concerning your life. You cast it down by bringing it captive and into obedience according to Christ. What's that mean? You yell at it? You curse at it? You tell it why it doesn't have power? No. You proclaim truth. And you see through a clear eye and you declare Him. So when you're hearing yak, 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 and it's not your heart, I love you, Holy Spirit. You're amazing. You're my best friend. Now I'm building relationship and revelation of Holy Spirit and learning how to never live by feelings, impressions, thoughts, but to live out of my heart because my heart says, "I love you." Do I need delivered? Do I need somebody to slap oil on my head and cast the devil out of my head? I didn't have a devil. I have Jesus. I had a lying, trying spirit coming to try to rob my identity short because he's believing that we don't know who we are. He's believing if we can keep ourselves from knowing who we are, we'll surely never know who He is. And then we'll never defeat Him. That's right. So He's trying to keep us muddy and foggy so we never see the truth of who He is and who we've become. So I'm hungry and I'm growing, so yak, 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 trying to get me like I got some hidden issue and I got some defiled heart and I'm not really sincere. When I look inside, and it makes me cry to think that, because all I know is I love God. Who's ever felt that way? And you were being lied to in your mind, but that you felt like, "But I love God." And then you feel like you need ministry. Yeah. You need to rise up and declare your love for God all the more. "I really love you. Yuck, 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 yuck. Oh, you're amazing to me." See? So God's sitting there going like this. And He's letting the whole thing unravel. Because am I a man with a problem? I'm a man with a heart change, a covenant, a God. I'm a man with a promise. Do you get it? 2 weeks into it, if I get into methods, 30-day money-back guarantee stuff, try me, see if you like me mentality, weekend warrior, fly by night. Wow, if this was really God, it would be working by now. Working. See, what we mean is the voice would have stopped. This would be, so we're doing it just to get superficial evidence through, or just surface evidence. Get the voice to stop. The voice is not my problem. Not heeding truth is my problem. Taking the voice personal could be a problem. The voice is not a problem. Speak on. You're spurring me to Christ. You're spurring me to truth. I guarantee you this. 9 months into my Christian life, 6 months, close to 6 months, I heard the voice. You can't believe how much I heard it in the beginning. I can't tell you later on because I had so much fun growing Holy Spirit, and He'd preach to me for an hour and a half. And then the stupid voice, the silly stupid voice, would be dumb enough to come and go yak yak again. And it was just like a pool cord in the Holy Ghost. Yak yak yak. It's like yak yak yak. Serious. So 9 months into being saved, because it was 3 months, I was 3 months saved when that started happening. Now I'm 9 months in the Lord, 6 months after. I can't tell you when the voice stopped because I was not focusing on it. It was actually trained me. It trained me that when I heard it to respond out of my heart. And what it also taught me is not to let everything that goes through my head to take it personal and attach it to my heart. Because I learned this as I became older in the Lord and started ministering more. There's people in this room that you have thought things and still tend to think things that you wish you didn't think. And the fact that you wish you didn't think them means it's not you. And you're still fighting over the fact that you're thinking it and thinking you got a problem and need help or healing or ministry, when you ought to lift up your heart and rejoice your heart's been changed and you don't think the way you used to think and feel the way you used to feel, and that you've been made pure and clean in His sight instead of feeling a little defiled, or why is that still there? Why do I reminisce on that? It's flashbacks. Some of it's just the things that owned you before, seeing if they still own you again. And even if you don't give yourself to them, they like to just violate your conscience. You ought to rejoice. If that makes you feel bad to have a flashback, a memory, and you're like, oh, I wish I didn't think that. Man, you ought to rejoice and just burst out in communion with God. And we're going to get on this, hopefully this week, real heavy on communion with God. Just rejoice and say, Father, You have so changed my heart. I am not the person I used to be. There was a time I used to think things degenerate and go after things of the flesh, but I love You and I want the things of the Spirit. You have made me a brand new person, purified me, cleansed me, and I am so clean in Your sight. You talk like that after you just thought something derogatory and you just thought of something. You better, what else is there? Are you kidding me? Because my heart says, yeah. Or the devil's just playing us like a fiddle. And it's not a good tune. It's like, it's not good. Let's change the music, huh? Come on. Okay, let's get back. We got to get to this. Man, where does time go? Help me, Jesus. I was trying to read Romans 6 and we didn't even get halfway through 5. Why do I go to 5? I turned to 6 and started reading out of 5. Do you see why we read in 5? Because in verse 2 it tells you to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In verse 11 it says you rejoice because through Christ you've been reconciled. Now the question would be to the body of Christ, who has really taken the time to truly rejoice and stay in a place of good tidings of great joy because they've been made right with God? Sounds like that's a key, a foundational key, doesn't it? Honestly, I'm going to talk what I believe right now. It's just my belief. Honestly, I believe that we haven't established that is why people don't feel excited in the Lord. It turns into works. They backslide and do things that they used to do. Because they don't get established in the fact that I've been made friends. I've been reconciled. I'm right. You accept me right now. Standing in this room, You love to love me. People don't establish that and then they don't walk in a reality and a revelation of God's love that literally, I believe, compels them through life. What compels you and drives the fuel in your tank is the love of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ compels me. This beautiful thing called God's love for me is what motivates me and fuels me in life. That's what he's saying. Compels. Moves me forward. Motors me along. What motors you along, Paul? The love of God, 2 Corinthians 5. Why? Because I judge something. I've looked and I've viewed something through the Word. That if one man died, then we all died. And now that one man lives, and some of us live through him. And if we who died now live through him, we should no longer live for ourselves, but him that died, and therefore see no man any longer for face value according to the flesh, but for his potential and the reason this one died. So the cross itself has totally changed Paul's perspective in the motivation of love, that it's his compelling every day to live. And you think this isn't some fresh big deal? It is huge. That's why you take weeks on this topic and never end and just keep going, because it's something you keep alive every day. And you, it's not not just a school that you're going through to get a grade. Oh, I took that course. No, it's a life lesson. Like, okay. Do you think that I'm really excited about what I'm telling you? Do you think I do that to keep your attention? Or do you think I'm really excited about what I'm telling you? Okay. Like a little bit, right? Okay, now do you think that I just got saved yesterday? Okay, so it's been 16 years, but am I genuinely? Do you think I'm really excited, or do you think I'm trying to seem excited? Or do you think I'm really excited? Now watch. So this revelation isn't just fresh every day, it gets fresher. It's actually bigger. It's the same truth, more revealed. We're so busy. We're like, give me some new word, brother. I want a fresh word. No, become the word you've heard. I mean, serious. It's like, serious. I want a fresh word, brother. I'm giving you a fresh word. This morning is fresh mercy and fresh grace and fresh mercy this morning over your life. Psalm says new mercy. New mercy and new grace every day. It's fresh and new. His love is just shining on me. And I see it clearer. So it's the same truth, bigger. Did you get it? Hey, Destiny, on the way here, we were playing a song. It's I ought to bring it in and play it. It's an identity song. It's a girl singing. She's holy, righteous, blameless. She's perfect in His sight. She's irreplaceable. And I'm like, oh. She said, I don't know if everybody can sing that song, but it would be good. And I said to Destiny, I said, I'm so cool singing that song. I said, I could put on a little fairy costume and just dance in front of the church. I said, better yet, get your daddy to do that. She said, oh my God. I said, I could see him. I said, holy, blameless. It's my little granddaughter's favorite song. When she gets in my truck, she loves getting in my truck because she wants to pop in that CD, Drive with Grandpa. And as soon as we get in the CD and I turn on, or I get in the truck and I turn on, she reaches and she puts it on number 2. No matter what CD's on, I say, honey, that's not the CD. I know what you're doing, but that's the different CD, honey. She says, can you put that one in? She's 5 and a half. I said, you better believe I can. And she's like, she's bouncing. So I put it in and she can't wait to hit it to 2. And then when she hits it to 2, she sees 2 come on. She sits back and she waits for the identity thing to come on. Because I told her it's a little princess song. It's how God sees her, and it's what God's singing over her. And I said, this girl on the song, she's believing it and she's singing it back. She's saying that's who she is to the Lord. She's precious and beautiful and holy and blameless. And you should see her. She's only 5 and a half. And she'll hit it. And as soon as it's over, she'll hit it right back to 2 again. And then she'll sit there. And then she'll look. She'll turn her head out this way, out the window, and she'll sing along. It's so fun. Because she's 5 and a half, and she's seeing that that's the way to see that God sees. And it helps her see what's wrong with me.
Look, she's so funny. She's yelling, bring it in. We'll just start tomorrow like that. That's so cool. But it's just really sweet. Cause, and at Destiny, she could bring her fairy costume and dance in front. We were telling about the little identity song and singing. And she said, I could definitely see you in front of the congregation doing that. But it says that she's irreplaceable. It says in the song that she's the move of God prophesied. She's his kingdom come, his will be done.
Sweet little song, isn't it?
I've been. What do you mean you want to hear it? I've been singing the song to you all week. All week I've been singing the song. Randy, we're a mess. Oh, where's time going? Oh, I'm having so much fun. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So look, I'm not trying to be redundant. I want you to see that the Bible is believing and expecting God, is pulling you in a position to where you're rejoicing in the fact that you're a friend to God. You're made right to God. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I'm proclaiming something that's very alive. If I can't start with first things first and get rooted and grounded in love, then I'll be a seed that's sown on rocky soil. No depth of heart. No depth of earth. And you receive your answer immediately. And you go, oh, I know that's... Yeah. And you leave church and the heat of the day comes. The pressures of life. And that thing that sprung up quick withers because there's no root. No depth of soil. That root is love. God's unfailing love. Because you get out in the heat of the day and it's just self-conscious, self-serving, self-preserving. Well, where was God? I got that word. I know that was for me. How come God didn't? Why? Oh, No depth of soil. No root in them. Because there's no root in them. Well, what are you rooted and grounded in? Love. So you're not going to let time, you're not going to let the 2 weeks, and you're not going to let the beans not come in the 2 weeks. That's not going to happen now. It's not. You're not going to let a physical symptom, you're not going to... No, you're going to get more militant. When that thing's coming on you to suggest something else, you're actually more militant. Because you're defending in your heart the truth that makes you free. You're saying, this has nothing to do with who I am. And it does not challenge God's love for me. His love shall never be challenged because Christ died and rose again. And you live in my spirit. You camp there till that gets big in you. You get it? I'll take you through a lot of stuff. I went and did a job. When I was pastoring one time, I stepped out and went into this workplace, and you couldn't miss no time. And when they were, I had so many experiences in the workplaces over the years. I actually liked being around folks. And I had people that were pushing to get in the position I was in the office and ministry, and they just thought they could get in full-time ministry. Their ships come in or something. And I'm thinking, here I was. I had friends saying, you seem discontent. You know, here you are, full-time, in ministry, salary, oh my gosh. And I'm thinking, yeah, everything is Christian, and Christian language. And some people weren't even necessarily living Christian, would talk Christian because they're talking to me. And it was just Christian. And I'm like, I don't know. I just want to go to work and be around people. And people were like, well, I wish I was in. And here you are. It's like you want to be out there and I want to be in here. And I'm like, oh. So, but I was at work and they said, you can't miss on my orientation. You can't miss any time in your 90-day probation or you lose your job. And they said, so we, you know, and I know they're saying it's flu season and da da da, but we can't. If you're sick in this 90 period and you miss work, we'll see you as a liability and da da da. So they're just making sure people come to work, even if they're sick. And I'm thinking in my mind, it wasn't a haughty thing. I thought, well, that's not going to be an issue because I honestly don't get sick. I've never had the flu in 16 years. I don't get head colds. I don't get nothing. And don't expect to. It's not the common cold. There's nothing common about me. So if it's, but brother, you know it's really going around. What does that mean? What do you mean it's really going around? So that's what we say. Well, you know, I got that. It's really going around. There's a mentality that embraces things and gets embraced by things. We don't realize how subtle it is. That's not some arrogant, hi-ho thing I'm preaching to you right now. What I'm saying is I've been through some trials. I've had some things. I had my head hurting so bad for 2 weeks in a row. Once a day, it would hit me,
and I couldn't hardly see, and the pain was unbearable. And when you go through that for 2 weeks, after the first 3 days, and you start feeling it come, you know it's coming. And you're Father, I just thank you, but it's coming. And it's already hurt you for 3 days. So now your flesh is going, oh no, not again. That's the temptation, right? I can't take this anymore. No, man, you know, I come across a certain way, but I'm more of a warrior than you probably realize. I don't love my own life unto death. I don't believe I do. And I'm just not afraid of the war. I'm just not. I'm a peacemaking, loving guy. I love you all day long. But you're not the devil. I'm not afraid of the war. You get what I'm saying? See, I feel that all over me when I'm talking. It's like, duh! This thing's hitting me 2 weeks in a row. You know, all the thoughts, something's wrong, brain tumor, something's bad. I mean, it would come. And then it hit me twice in a day, which just seemed. And the time it hit me twice in a day, it hit me in the evening, and I was at home. My wife's watching me suffer. You have no idea. I would be like, Jesus, Lord Jesus. You have no idea how ugly it was. It was so much pain. I went through 3 things of witchcraft, and then this thing hit me years later. This was just six, seven years ago. I can't tell you how bad it was. Sometimes things look for an opportune time. They come, try to get you in a certain place, get you to say, well, I know I shouldn't have it. I had victory over it. I don't know why. All that crazy stuff. I don't do that. My mind is so gripped here, I don't even wander nowhere. I ain't even asking the questions, and I ain't even thinking of answers. Now's not the time to grope and grab. Now's the time to be in Him. If I'm searching here and here, I'm not fighting the good fight of faith, that's for sure. And if I got all these questions, I'm sure letting everybody know I'm not sure whether I'm coming or going. No, the reality is I had serious pain in my head once a day for 2 weeks. But the truth is, Jesus is Lord, and we're going to win, and this thing is not changing, nothing. So my wife, she's feeling really sympathetic for me, and that's not a terrible word. She's just feeling bad for me. If you saw him really hurting bad, your heart would cry for him. You'd be like, oh my gosh, because you feel for him, because you're one with him. And it would be like, that would be a hard thing, because you love him, right? Like, just the suggestion's getting her emotional. You're amazing. She was like, man, I thought she was going to hold him or something. I was so good. I just feel like, down, Harris, down. So my wife, it's 3 a.m. or something like that. She hears me staggering through the house moaning. And she comes into the kitchen, and I'm leaning over the sink, holding my head. I can't even stand up. I'm just moaning. But here's the cool thing. My heart is so alive and okay and at peace. Can't explain it. I've been in it before. I'm not a wreck. I'm not thinking, oh, I can't take this. When is this going to stop? Why is this? Because that's just me, 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 me. And I'm saying, punch me, it hurts. Yeah. Come on, it's our language. Why do I got to go through this? I hate this. Why am I going to, oh my God, I don't want to go through this no more. And it begins to be a complaining thing, and it makes rational sense, but you're just saying, punch me, it hurts. Yeah. There's a place where as much as it hurt, it didn't have any capacity to touch my heart whatsoever. My heart is so separate from what I'm feeling because of building myself in this gospel. It's a militant thing. It's like a boot camp idea. It's just trained in the gospel. Yeah, you don't wait for war to train, you train. And when war comes, you're ready. Do you get that? Come on, if we waited for war, we'd lose for sure. Rachel. I don't even have to guard my heart in this area. It's an established precept. But there's a guarding your heart with truth, of course. There's a guarding your heart if you get tempted with... We all have the ability to think things negative, think things contrary to truth, even though our hearts are sincere and there's things established. So guarding your heart is just keeping sure your heart's in agreement with truth and not letting any rightness come in to give you permission to be less than who He is. So that's a good thing. She said, is that not like you don't have to guard your heart? It's just already there. In this area, yeah, Rachel, that wasn't a... I didn't have to do a conscious protect my heart thing because... You can get established in truth. You see what I'm saying? But guarding your heart is, okay, out of the blue, somebody does something totally unexpected. And all of a sudden you say, I can't believe they did that. And you start thinking on it way deeper than you're even to consider, and I can't believe they did that, and after all they said, now you remember a promise, and now it's broken, and oh my God, next thing you know, you don't know who you can trust, because if I couldn't trust them, I couldn't trust everybody. That is not guarding your heart. That is running your mind to the detriment of your life and everybody around you. And now you have 10 reasons why you're hurt. Serious. But no, in this situation, I'm leaning over the sink. It's no fun for me. I'm leaning over the sink of my wife. She flips the little light on and she says, honey, oh my gosh. And she wants to cry. She's rubbing my shoulder. And I'm in trouble, it seems, to her eyes. To the flesh, it probably looked like I was in serious trouble. People that love you don't do well in those situations because we're more sentimental than spirit-filled-led. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying. We're like, oh, no. So she says, honey, she says, what is going on? How long is this going to keep happening? I can't stand watching you. You're in so much pain. How long is this going to happen? I don't remember the quote, but just the concept. I remember chuckling out of my heart, chuckling. Oh, I was in so much pain, it was ridiculous. But out of my heart, chuckling, and I said, don't you understand, sweetheart, that's not the question. It's not about how long and how long is this going to happen. It's not about that. It's about who I am and who I am in Him. It's about that not ever being able to change. And that's what wins. My life is not my own. And you just can't hurt me or touch me or something like that. And I sat up saying that. And when I said that, it was like, that was the victory. That was the whole concept. Satan was trying to get me off of that. And I can't come off of that. It's not about, yeah, but if you were in faith, then why are you hurting? It's always about the superficial idea of just the natural. But we're always caught up with the pain. But then why 2 weeks? Well, how come? Well, why isn't God delivering? Well, there has to be a stronghold. Well, there has to be a root. Well, there has to be... Wonder if in this process God is cultivating and growing something in me and revealing, like through fire, precious gold that's proved and tested to the praise and honor of glory of Jesus Christ at the revelation of Him. Wonder if the trial is perfecting something and God's not even backing off the trial. He's just sitting there watching me do what He's put me in position to do and come out with a greater revelation than I ever had before. When I said that about it's about who I am, and I sat up, I remember the pain started backing off and this boldness and this like a fire came up my belly. It happened the one time with the witchcraft when I went ballistic. And I said, don't you realize, Kimmy, this whole thing makes me untouchable. It's not about me being touched. It makes me untouchable. And I started to proclaim truth. And it was like an explosion. It was like somebody put a stick of dynamite in my ear. Went, poof! And I'm telling you, that thing blasted out of me. I was so crystal clear. I didn't feel like I had hurt even one day. I was so full of the Spirit of God and so sure that He was Lord and that my life is His. I was like a madman. And it was like that thing took me to some of the stuff you see come on me when I'm preaching the passage. It's because of all those things. See, you can tell people have been through fire when there's that passion in their eye. When you can hear it's coming out of their heart because they know it. I'm not preaching philosophy to you. I'm not preaching a theory. It's what I've become. It's what I've lived. I've tasted and seen. He's so good. Doesn't matter that my head was hurting. Who cares that my head hurt for 2 weeks? Why is that the principal thing? I'm raising my voice on a purpose to stop everything else and make a point here. Do you get it? Who cares that I hurt for 2 weeks? It took me to a great thing. Is that giving myself permission to be pummeled? No. It's not making big what's not big. It's not letting get so big what's not really the issue. Yes, right. The pain in my head wasn't the issue. What it was going after is the issue.
Yes. Amen.
What it was trying to uproot is the issue. But if we're so self-serving and self-loving and self-imposed and the pain matters so much. It isn't about the pain 2 weeks into it. It's about the principle of the thing and what this thing is after. and what you have no permission to get from me, because it came from Him. And I'm going to hold on. Even if I die, I can't die. Do you get what I'm saying? You got to get that militant. Now that's militant. And that's not afraid then. And it's never about your pain. It's about your heart. When I had that witchcraft thing, I'm telling you, that thing was real. And it felt like I was dying. And I was so not even moved by that. I was so like, it isn't even about death ever. To my family, they're watching me pass out and lay out on the floor. You know what my wife was hearing in her head? Dan, or Kim, your husband Dan is so bullheaded and stubborn that he'll lay here and die in front of you and the kids before he goes and gets help. That's what she was hearing. What a lying little devil that doesn't know a thing. For one thing, I didn't lay there and die. Here I am preaching to you. Yay! I knew it was witchcraft. I didn't need 911. I knew it was witchcraft. The Lord showed me what it was. There was stuff going on. It was witchcraft. I don't need anything but Jesus. You could say, well, diabetes is witchcraft. Don't take your insulin. Now, see, if you're taking something and you're in faith and you're separating yourself from that and you're growing in identity and walking in healing, that's great. But when I know it's a demon spirit grabbing me, doing something, and they can't even physically identify it, and it's demonic, I don't need 911. I have everything I need. So I just stood my ground. And I had every Christian telling me I was in spiritual pride. I had no one in my life understood and locked arms with me, which is okay. But isn't it amazing how many responses we have without the truth? My heart got imposed on so many times. Well, you're just in spiritual pride. You're ashamed to go to the doctor because you preach so passionate and so unlimited that if you go to the doctor, you don't want that on your resume and you just don't know how to preach through that experience. And I never even thought of any of that stuff, but everybody else was thinking that stuff. I'm like, what? Wasn't in my heart until now. Now I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking, no, that's silly. No, my simple thought was, this is the devil. Jesus already won. Let me fight the good fight and we'll win. That was just simple to me. Believe it at that. This is the devil. Jesus is Lord and I'm in Him. We'll win. Yeah, I know it looks ugly. It doesn't matter. It's not always pretty. But it is in the end. You come out with more knowing than before. It's not pretty all the time. If you get your eyes on that, if you get your eyes on the garden and the beans that aren't sprouting, it's not always pretty. It's not what you envisioned. And you go through a season where you can't see what you see. That's what makes it faith. You follow me? That day that I was laying there, felt like I was dying. You know what went through my head? Dan, you're such a great believer. You're such a noble man. You really do live this gospel. It sounded like I was getting a pat on the back. But you do not have to suffer like this. Enough is enough. You don't need this kind of pain. It doesn't change anything if you go get help. You can just go get help. It started to begin to be a doctor thing and a hospital thing and all the things the people were saying. It started to be, and my wife, he's going to die in front of you and the kids if he doesn't get help. Now that voice wasn't applauding me like it was me, so it probably wasn't God, huh? So it's playing on the emotion of my wife. Your husband's so bullheaded and stubborn, he's going to die in front of you. So it's a self-serving thought. Full of sentiment that almost the whole world and 3/4 of the church would back up. Over on my end, I'm hearing, oh, you're such a great believer, man. You got nothing to lose. Look, you already went farther than most. Come on, just go get some. You don't need this kind of pain. Nobody wants you hurting like that. It felt so good to my flesh hearing that. You have no idea. When I heard that, I thought, yeah, Yeah, no pain. Yeah. I was hurting so bad, you have no idea. And to my mind and flesh, I was like, oh, give me something, anything, whatever. I'm thinking that for a minute, like, oh, but not that I wanted to. I'm just thinking, no pain. Yeah. And I thought, you know what? I do. I've hurt so bad. I'm going to pass out in front of her. They're going through so I need to go get help. And I looked at my wife. She's looking at me with these big brown eyes, thinking what she's thinking. I'm going to die. And I went to say, Kim, maybe we ought to just go get some help. I was going to say it out of my mouth. It's the first time in my life that I understood what it means that God won't allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. I've never totally understood what that scripture means. But for you, I'll always provide a way of escape. Do you know where it says that in the Bible? I was beyond what I could bear. My flesh, who knows that your flesh has feelings and it's real. And when you're in that kind of pain and you're ready to pass out, you're in more pain than you think you could ever tolerate and endure. And I was going through so much that I couldn't put it into words. I had kidney stone years ago, and I thought that was bad. They say that's the closest a man will ever feel like to child labor for a woman, the kidney stones. And I'm thinking, God, I'm glad I'm a guy. And not a woman with five kids. Because if I had to go through that every time, I'd be like, phew. Because seriously, in my flesh, I'm thinking, this hurts. Well, this pain so blew kidney stone out of the water, it was ridiculous. It wasn't even a comparison. And it was like taking my vision, my consciousness. My kids and wife found me. I was dragging through the house because I'm a warrior. I'm a fighter. I was holding on to a railing upstairs. I was going, as deer pant for the water. That's what they said I was doing. I don't know what I do. And they surrounded me and prayed in tongues and prayed for me crying, and it seemed to get worse. Who's ever had that happen? And your mind really goes, huh? So I'm laying there and this voice says this, and I was ready to say, let's go get help. And when I went to say, maybe we need to just go get some help and get rid of this pain for now. Give me, I can't. I get rid of this pain. When I went to speak, I couldn't say it. There was something inside of me that said, that isn't what I've been standing for. That's not my answer. That's not what you locked into, Dana. And I hesitated just for a moment and didn't say that. And in that little moment, I heard this small, still whisper of a voice down inside. And here's what it said. Don't believe the lie. I'd never experienced anything like this at the time. But I sat up and consciousness came on me as sovereign. It was the Spirit of God. Because I passed this thing. I jumped this hurdle. Somehow I had held on. And God saw me as a warrior. He was like, faith has taken you. You crossed this line. Because I didn't give up my identity. I held on to the point of literally death. And this revelation came. I sat up. I don't know how all that works, but I know we co-labor with Him. I know we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I know we follow the finished work of Jesus, lay a foundation, and we never look back. That's what I was in the process of. I sat up, and I said out loud, when you hear Holy Spirit, it's good to say what He says. He said, don't believe the lie. I sat up and I said, I will not believe the lie. Now I had strength in my voice. Well, I couldn't even lift my arm. My arm, well, it was this arm. I couldn't even lift my arm. My arm was so in so much pain in my body that I couldn't even move my arm. Guys, this thing was so intense that I had my kids. I got this bright idea that if my kids would raise my hand like they did Moses's in the battle, that we would win. It works. It sounded cool and prophetic. Cost my poor kids big time. They were like 12 and 7. And I'm screaming at them, passionately lift my hand. And when they move my hand 4 inches, I'm screaming like they're killing me. And they don't want to hurt Daddy anymore. And I'm saying, it's okay, lift it. Ah! Ah! You have no idea. It was so dramatic. Ah! And they're like, Daddy! I said, it's okay. Jesus is Lord. Lift my arm, kids. And they got my arm up high, and I said, yes. And I lifted my arm and said, it's not works. I said, ah! Even as Moses in the battle and Aaron and Hur lifted his hands, God, I will worship you. It sounds so noble. You'd think God would just come and say, oh, good boy. But it's not what I do. And my kids are bawling and they got my arm up and they're bawling. My kids are bawling because they feel like they're helping kill death. That's how militant I am and passionate. See, you might not even be ready for that behind the scenes. Telling my kids, get my arm up. Now they have to put it back down. And I didn't think it could hurt worse, but when they put it down, and then it was even worse. And that's when it led to this whole thing. But I sat up. I said, I won't believe the lie. And I stood to my feet. It's pretty overwhelming. And all of a sudden, my arms that I couldn't even lift were up high. I can't explain the fire that came into my stomach. You know, we talk about the belly and fire in the belly. Well, it was fire. It was holy and it was powerful. It came in me. I felt like a lion. I felt undefeatable, invincible. I must have felt a glimmer of what God lives in every day. He's Almighty God. He fears nothing. And yet He's perfect love. He's not some arrogant, power-surging need of attention. He's not weird and twisted. He's all-powerful and perfect love. Oh, what a blend. That's my dad. My dad is all-powerful and perfect love. So I got this fire thing on me. I got this is all feelings. This is all ministrations of spirit. So I'm very aware of them, had my share of them, believe me, over the years. I just don't talk a lot about this stuff, but this is what happened to me. But see, what took me there wasn't praying for a breakthrough, believing I already had one. The stone's already rolled away. And the breakthrough for me is not loving my own life unto death, and it's not about the pain. It's about the glory of the cross, the integrity of the gospel. I stood up and said, I will not believe the lie. And I stood up and I raised my hands real high, and I started to speak into the realm of spirit, because I knew this witchcraft thing had been tracking me, trying to get me whatever it tries to get you. Like this, what's next, scared of it. I yelled out of my spirit, and I don't talk like this. This isn't my way of talking. I know it was just, I got overtaken. It's the time I told you earlier, if there was any time I ever had, wished I had on tape, it was these next 10 minutes. That's when the crystal waterfall, this is the time when the ceiling opened and the water poured on me. But I said this out of my mouth. I said, I had my eyes wide open, my hands raised, and I'm like, I mean, I can't even tell you, I felt like a warrior. I felt absolutely invincible. And I yelled and I said, how long will you, like an uncircumcised Philistine? I didn't know who I was talking to, but I knew I was talking to something. I said, how long will you, you uncircumcised Philistine, stand in the field of my life and hurl threats at a child of the living God? And when I said that, there was this spiritual explosion I can't explain. And my body was so invigorated. I mean, they show commercials drinking Gatorade and getting revitalized. If they could bottle this stuff. So in this waterfall, I mean, if I could have just had some bottles. Just standing there, and I had my eyes open, and that's when I looked up, and that's this waterfall came on me. It was just ridiculously amazing, because God is my Father. And when I stood off the floor, that's when I preached the revelation of Christ. But I addressed that thing. How long will you stand in the field of my life and hurl threats? Every assault to your life is a threat. It's saying you're not who you say you are. You'll never be who you say you are. The gospel's not true. Every adversity to your life is suggesting something contrary to truth. And believing you'll take it personal and bite the bait through lack of knowledge. Every assault has that attached to it. But every assault by God is designed to take you to a higher place and be more like Christ than you've ever been in your life. So your trouble is not your trouble. He said, I'll be with you. Pastor Don preached the other week. He said, I'll be with him in time of trouble. It didn't say, I'll keep him from trouble. I'll be with him in trouble. What's changing just because my head's hurting? What's changed? Is the stone still rolled away? Is Christ still mediating? Is the Spirit of God still in me? Then that's my battle point. And if I let those things change who I am, I won't walk in the glory of what He's accomplished. That's why the just live by. And if you don't settle first, see how this all ties up? Right at quick time, watch. If you don't rejoice in the fact and get established in the fact that you've been reconciled, you'll let all these things question where that reconciliation even is. You follow me? And you'll compare this to this that's already done. That's why I'm taking so much time on some of these topics, so that we're rooted, grounded in love. so that you can never change your mind, come hell or high water. Because whether I see this thing or not in my ceiling, it's flowing.
Yeah. I found it in my Bible. It's a crystal river. It's flowing. There's trees along it. Their leaf will never wither and they bear fruit. And the healing of the nations is on those trees. Must be us.
You get it? It's a crystal river. It flows from the threshold of the temple. Yeah, and guess where he lives now? Guess who the temple of God is now? Guess where the river flows from? Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. So there's like crystal rivers. Man, it doesn't even make us flaky believing that. It's just crystal rivers. It's real. It's the Spirit of God, the glory of God, and goodness of God. Amen? I didn't touch nothing today. But I was going to. So I know we can come back tomorrow and pick up somewhere. This is school. Romans 6. And we didn't read any of that. You know what's cool? Serious. You hear me say it all the time. Tomorrow when we open our Bibles, Romans 6 will be there. And you know what else is cool? It'll say the same thing tomorrow that it said today. There's a truth to that. He doesn't change, does he? So that's not change. If he doesn't change, why do we? With every wind and trial. In fact, let me just read this quick. I got 30 seconds. Yeah. Verse 12 of Ephesians 4. Watch this. Well, verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? So we build a conference around them to minister to us? Not against conferences, but they have to have a purpose of equipping, right? Not just ministry. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the... So the saints are in the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Watch. So these gifts are in the body to build up the body for who she is till we all... How many? The unity of faith till we see through the same eye and understand these things. The unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. A complete man. Oh, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointing available through Christ. And watch. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by things. Mindsets. Winds of doctrine. Come on. This is not the Christian life. The day of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. We grow from faith to faith and glory to glory. We ascend into Him. We grow up into Him in all things. This is not the normal Christian life. Right? What? So we're no longer tossed by trickery, man, cunning, crafty, deceitful. There's a whole lot of things you can attach to that and take time to teach about that. Motives of men. Sometimes it's protecting their own past scenarios, a heritage, their own experience. And sometimes people get on a dogma of doctrine because it protects their go-through. And then they're trying to get the whole world to agree with what they've been through. And it's terrible. There's some people that have so much hurt in their life and they're so offended at loss and things that they can't even hear the gospel clearly preached because they're protecting their heart and their loss. And they're not protecting anything. They're actually hurting and mad and they need love to minister to. You see what I mean? You don't realize how that's traps. But look. Verse 15, we're going to speak the truth in what? Not rightness. Not just to be right, but in love. I'm telling you, it goes a long way. We're going to speak the truth in love. There's a young lady sitting here. I don't want to embarrass her or spoil her, but I got to love on her one day and we prayed and talked and I said things and things that, but... She said for the first time ever, things got real clear. She believed, was able to see what was always there. Right? But it came that day. That doesn't surprise me. I hear that testimony all the time. Because I'm not giving you doctrine. I'm giving you what's a revelation to me. So when she's waiting around for an hour after the service and I'm talking to her, she's hanging around and just wants to talk and wants prayer. And I go to pray for her. Who knows? I'm not just doing the Christian thing to do. That's my responsibility. There'd be a good Rachel steward of your heart thought. That's another good way to guard your heart, be a good steward of your heart. Guard your heart, make sure your motives are always pure and life-giving. You don't just do things rhetorical. So when I'm talking to her and praying for her, I know she has destiny. I know she's worth the blood. I know that she's the will of God. I know all that. So it's fun to pray for her. But because I'm praying from that place, it carries a grace and anointing and a revelation that, boom, releases something in her that she hadn't seen before. And changed everything since then.
Isn't that cool? Look at her smile. You can tell the light's just on. I like just looking at her. She's just... You're a light bulb.
So we're going to speak the truth in love. Why? So we can grow up in what? In all things into Him who is the head. So we're going to speak the truth in love to grow up into what? All things in Him. Amen? That's why we're in the school. You guys all right? You doing good? You okay with this way that I am? Because if you're not, you'll have to drop out of the school.
Because I can't change. So you'll just have to go. We'll have who we have.
Can we pray? Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's just bless the Lord and thank Him for goodness. Sorry I got late there 5 minutes. Stand to our feet. Let's just bless. Let's just pray. Hey, Brian. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not putting you on the spot, but I need you to come up here. I want you to pray over the class and just bless the class. Yep, I just heard that in my heart. Now I'm going to obey it. I believe it was God. I believe it was.